What is the very, very best you can give to Jesus? Give your heart. And when you give your heart, you won't have any trouble at all giving everything else.
Welcome to The Healing Word, a radio ministry of the Largo Community Church. Here's Pastor Jack Morris with today's message that will grow your faith in God and lead you to a closer walk with Jesus.
Thank you, Laura, and Merry Christmas, everyone. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I'm inviting you and your family to the Christmas Eve candlelight service Tuesday, December the 24th at the Largo Community Church. Come bring the entire family to the Silent Night Christmas Eve candlelight service Tuesday, December the 24th at 8:30 at the Largo Community Church in Largo, Maryland. Now, let's go into the sanctuary for the Christmas message.
First, I want to look at the people in the story from Matthew chapter 2. There were the wise men, the priest, and King Herod. Now, the wise men came from a far-off country because they saw the star and because they read the Old Testament, and they knew what the Old Testament had to say about a king that was going to be born. And I pray the Holy Spirit will help us to know what the Word says about Jesus, the King that is being born, and that He will be born anew in our hearts, and we will experience His power and His authority over us. For there will come joy and happiness, peace that we have never experienced to that degree before or could never experience without His presence and His power. Now, it's interesting. These wise men, they were not Jews. They were certainly not Christians. Christians, followers of Jesus, weren't called Christians until the time of the New Testament at Antioch. And when we were called Christians, it was a derision. It was a scornful. It was a mockery. Today, we're happy and we're thankful that we're called Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. But it didn't come to us as a compliment in the beginning. These three kings were actually heathens. They were idol worshipers, but they read the New Testament. They knew the New Testament. They paid strict attention to it. And I don't know why they were so interested, being idol worshipers, interested in the Old Testament as they were, but they were. And they somehow came to the realization that God was going to visit this planet. And this God was going to be a king. He would rule over all. Ultimately, only in the temporary sense would He rule over those who would give their hearts to Him. But someday, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess. Now, they were coming to this realization by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Old Testament. And listen to this. They came, most theologians and historians believe that they came from Iraq and Iran. Isn't that interesting? You've heard of those two countries, haven't you? Yeah, I'm sure you have. And they saw the star. They were astrologers looking at the heavens, and a new star appeared, His star. It had never been there before. It has never been there since. I've heard people from NASA and scientists say that the Star of Bethlehem appears every so many years, but I believe it was His star and His alone that led them to the Christ child, and they bowed and they worshiped Him. Now, it took them approximately 2 years to get there. I'm an impatient man myself. 2 years, I don't know whether I would have endured that long. I more likely would have given up and gone home. 2 years, but they stayed at it. They kept going. They themselves were kings over territories, but they knew that there was a king that was coming that would be king over all the earth. It took them 2 years. Now, these were the wise men. Someone said, well, what about if they had been wise women? They would have stopped and asked for directions and no doubt gotten there much sooner. Maybe they would have gotten there in time to help deliver the baby and care for the mother. But these were wise men, and you know, they're not going to stop. It took, but well, they did finally stop after 2 years. They got to Bethlehem and they went to the palace. So that's where kings are supposed to be. And they asked, where is he that is born king of the Jews? It was just natural to go to the palace mansion and ask that question. What better place? Well, they asked, maybe we would consider the wrong man. They asked King Herod. Now, King Herod, I don't know how to describe him, a maniac, the Adolf Hitler of the Old Testament. He was a killer. Actually, he had his own wife and two brothers killed because he suspected them of treason. And then when the wise men didn't return like they said they were going to, like he thought they were going to, they had been warned in a dream not to return, this crazy maniac had all the babies killed 2 years and under. So Jesus must have been approximately 2 years old when they finally arrived. Then there were the priests. The priests had been reading the Old Testament ever since they were children. They were committed to the priesthood as little children, and they knew the Old Testament. Jesus was born only 5 miles from Jerusalem where the priests were, and the priest who read the Old Testament, see, you can read it and ignore it. You listen to me now? You can read it and ignore it like the priest did. Prophecy being fulfilled right before their very eyes, and yet they wouldn't go out of their way 5 miles. And they claimed to be the teachers of the law. They were the teachers of the law. But these heathens, these people from Iraq and Iran, came and bowed down, and it took them 2 years to get there, and the priest couldn't even go 5 miles to get there. You see, God is doing great things, and I pray that He will give us eyes to see, as I prayed over the Word today, and ears to hear, that even today He wants to do something great, and He will do something great, provided we have the spiritual insight and a heart open to hear and receive what He has for us. These wise men saw a star, and they followed a star. My prayer is that each of us would look and see what star God has put in our life to lead us to the Christ child. Now, that star might not be what we would call a star. It may be something difficult that is going on in our life, some sadness, some disappointment, some hurt, some pain. But if we will look to Jesus, if we will turn our eyes upon Jesus, as we sang, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, that sickness, that hurt, that pain, that tragedy, that disappointment, friends, God turns scars into stars. And He will take that is going on in your life and my life, and it may not be a star now, but it will lead us to Jesus if we will allow it and follow it. Everything that happens to us isn't good, but God can turn ashes into beauty if we look to Him. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. He will do this for us because He is God, and He will do great and mighty things. So there's a star in your sky. It may not be a star today. It may be a scar, but follow it. Follow it. I've heard so many people say, it was that sickness, it was that ailment, it was that heart attack, it was that cancer that brought me to the Lord. Friend, whatever is going on today, don't complain, pray. Don't murmur, look up. Jesus is doing something, and He can fix things that you and I have no idea and no wherewithal to fix it. He's our God. These men follow the star. It took them to Jesus. And whatever it is, even my own dad dying of cancer in the hospital, I'm inclined to say, thank God, if it took cancer, and if it took death, thank God it led him to Jesus and eternal life. For this life is only a temporary event anyway. They followed the star, so follow it. What is it that's hurting you today? What is it? Think about it. Bring it to mind right now. Think about it right now. Think about it. When you give it over to the Lord, it's leading you somewhere. You may say, oh, that's from the devil. That's from Satan. It may be, but God can turn things, water into wine. He can bring about blessing where there's tragedy. He's God. You're His child. Let Him perform a miracle in your life today. Follow it today. Follow it. It'll lead you out. It'll lead you to Jesus Christ. Now, how are you responding? Herod, he opposed Jesus. He was afraid of Jesus. He didn't want to hear anything about Jesus. He opposed Jesus. He wanted to obliterate everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the extent that he went to killing the babies. The priest ignored him, just absolutely ignored him. Many years ago, and I have never told this before because I'm embarrassed to tell it, and I'm even ashamed to tell what I'm going to tell now. I was asked to pray in Congress downtown, to go before Congress and open the session in prayer. And I knew that there were people there that were not Christians who were members of Congress. And I knew that I was not to, at least, to, it was not desirable that I would conclude that prayer in the name of Jesus. And so, as a young minister, being somewhat nervous, going before this august body of representatives of the United States, I concluded my prayer with just an amen. I went along with it. To this day, I'm embarrassed, and by the grace of God, I'll never do that again. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus, and to deny His name. Do you know that today there are those that are opposed to even greeting one another with Merry Christmas? Even stores, chain stores, don't want to put up the name or the words Merry Christmas. People are trying to ignore Jesus. Now, they're celebrating Christmas. They're putting up Christmas trees and Christmas trimmings, but not Jesus. Let's have a ball. Let's have a party, but leave Jesus out. Don't mention His name. Don't mention His name. Some of us, including myself, fell prey to that terrible thing, to leave out Jesus. God forgive me. I prayed that He would, and I know that He has. But don't leave Jesus. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and with a big smile, reach out and touch him and say, Merry Christmas. It's Jesus that brings the merriment and the joy and the happiness. It's Jesus that causes all of this to come about.
Pastor Morris will return in a moment with the conclusion of today's message following this important invitation.
It's Christmas time at Largo Community Church. You're invited to the beautiful choir cantata and sermon entitled Jesus Came on Time, Sunday, December 22, and the Silent Night Candlelight Service on Christmas Eve, December 24 at 8:30. Our website, largocc.org, phone number 301-249-2255. The Largo Community Church is located only minutes from FedEx Field, 1701 Enterprise Road, Largo, Maryland. I'm Pastor Jack Morris.
Now, let's rejoin Pastor Jack Morris for the conclusion of today's message.
Don't be like Herod. Don't be like the priest who ignore him and act as though he doesn't exist. Don't even be like your pastor who many, many years ago nervously went before a body, and because they had other people there and they didn't want to hear the name of Jesus, I capitulated and bought into it and went along with it. And to my chagrin and to my shame. God forgive me. Will you forgive me? Yes. Oh, you're a blessed people. You're a blessed people. But the wise men, they came looking. They came believing. And they came and they found. You know, you usually find what you're looking for. You're looking for happiness, you're going to find it. If you're looking for something to complain about, I have a feeling you'll find it. For we live in an imperfect world. And don't forget, you're part of this imperfect world, and I am, and we all are. But these men came looking, and they found what they were looking for. And they bowed, and they worshiped. I'm always intrigued by the word worship. In all my spiritual life, I've been seeking the Lord to know better how to worship. What does worship mean? How do I truly worship in spirit and in truth? How do I worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords accurately, worshipfully, authentically? I don't want to be a phony. I don't want to go through just ceremony and rote. I want to truly worship Him from my heart. I'm still learning. I'm still a child in the school of worship. How do I truly worship Him, the one who is so worthy? Well, these men knew how, and they bowed, and they touched Jesus with their heart, and Jesus touched them with their heart. Now, here are the gifts that they brought to Him. They brought gold. Now, these gifts have a present message and a prophetic message. I don't think they really knew that the prophecy that they were becoming involved in when they brought it. But gold, the most pure of metals, the precious of metals, the metal that is worthy to give to royalty. Now, why did they do that? I think there was something in their heart. They didn't have an example. No one else had done it before them, but I think it was something in their heart. Friend, if you follow your heart, I believe you'll worship Jesus. If you follow the feeling and the inclination of your heart, and they brought Him gold. They had carried that gold for 2 years, wanting to bring it to Jesus, to give it to Jesus. Jesus was worthy. They had to do it. Friend, when you're stingy with Jesus, you've got a dried up, withered up life. Your life isn't full. These men, not Christians. I mean, it's really something how we have to invoke Christians to give their time, to give their energy, to give their attention, to give their tithe and offering. I mean, these were heathens, and they gave the very best. Why did they give gold? Why did they give the very best? Because God gave the very best of heaven. And people that don't give their best in worship, they don't give their heart, they don't give their praise, they're reluctant for some reason, I'm not sure just why it is, they still don't realize, and they may be Christians, even baptized Christians, but somehow they still don't realize the gift that God gave to them. Do you know what He gave? The darling of heaven, the most precious gift. He didn't give an angel. He gave Jesus. He gave Jesus. And still some of us are having a difficult time knowing that He gave Jesus the very, very best. In giving Jesus, He gave us eternal life. Life now, wonderful life, abundant life, and life forevermore. He gave Jesus. Now, there's a message in that. What is the message in the gift that was given, the best gift, the most precious gift? Looked all over heaven, God did, and He couldn't find anything better. Friend, let me ask you something. What is the very, very best you can give to Jesus? Give your heart. And when you give your heart, you won't have any trouble at all giving everything else. Love is a mystery, isn't it? Who has yet been able to define it? We have been able to look upon love, the gift that God gave, but to define it and to have it in the world, and to sing about it, to talk about it, and yet love is so often absent. I believe, friend, when our love to Jesus is genuine, real, authentic. I believe that when our love is like that, and our love is contemporary, it's up to date, it's being renewed and refined, so is our heart being renewed and refined, then our our love will reach out to one another, and our love to one another then will become pure. There is that is called love, but it really isn't love. I don't know really what to call it. But it doesn't work like the love that works from the heart of God. I think a lot of marriages begin with infatuation, but it isn't truly love. We think we're going to get something out of it, not realizing that we need to put and give something into it. But the love of Jesus will constrain us, will implore us to give, to love, to serve, to be one with. Love binds. Wouldn't it be something, like one minister said the other day, interviewed on Hannity and Combs. He said, wouldn't it be something to receive a gift? I got this gift. Next year, I see you again. I haven't seen you for a year. And then you ask, hey, what do you think of the gift that I gave to you? I said, well, I haven't unwrapped it yet. You've had that gift all this time, and you don't know what I gave to you? God gave the world a gift of love, and many have yet to unwrap that gift and experience that love. Infatuation, lust, attraction, that is fleshly and carnal, and that will wear off and that will pass away. But the Bible says, not your pastor, the Bible says, love never, never fails. And that's what God has given to us. He will love us forever. He will love us to the end. And when you come to this table this morning, I want you to see sacrificial love and experience it anew. And let it warm your heart. For God is here to love you and to put His arms about you, to caress you, to hold you. You're His. People will be lost and go into eternity. Never go to heaven, never experience the visible presence of God, and God will love them all the way to hell. Love, love, are you listening to me? Love, pure love, never fails. Say it with me. Love never fails. Oh, I must hurry on. The next gift is frankincense. This is the gift of worship, and I've been talking a little bit about worship this morning. They came. I don't know whether they were aware. I somehow think they were. They weren't quite aware of what they were doing, but it was a feeling of the heart that they were following, and they were obeying their heart, and they brought frankincense. They brought it to the king. They brought it to Jesus. They brought it to Emmanuel. Somehow they knew that this was God with us. And they brought it to him and they bowed before him. They brought these gifts. They loved him. And then they saw him. And then they experienced him. Love does great and wonderful things. And if we love him as he loves us, we will experience God's gift of heaven in a great and wonderful way.
In Psalm 107:20, the scripture says, He sent His word and healed them. We hope today's healing word has been a blessing and has encouraged your faith in God to grow. We invite you to join us in worship this Sunday at the Largo Community Church at either the 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock service to experience a wonderful fellowship of believers and faith-building messages based on God's Word that are sure to encourage your spiritual formation in Christ. Infant care is provided, and there are Sunday school classes available for all ages, so why not join us this Sunday? The church is located at 1701 Enterprise Road in Mitchellville, Maryland. For more information, visit our website at largocc.org.
Again, this is Pastor Jack Morris inviting you to the Christmas Eve Candlelight Service Tuesday, December 24th at the Largo Community Church. Service time is 8:30 p.m. That's the Silent Night Christmas Eve Candlelight Service Tuesday, December 24th at 8:30 at the Largo Community Church, Largo, Maryland. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow at this same time for another edition of The Healing Word. Until tomorrow, blessings on you.